This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guest Michelangelo Signorelli writes, there appears to be a brilliantly orchestrated massive conspiracy to keep all homosexuals locked in the closet. Signorelli has made it his mission to get some of those people out of the closet, whether they like it or not. He's revealed the homosexuality of people in politics, the military, and show business. He now writes for The Advocate and was the media coordinator of the AIDS activist group ACT UP. Signorelli has written a new book called Queer in America, Sex, the Media, and the Closets of Power. His articles outing public figures have stirred up debate within the media and within the gay community about when, if ever, it's appropriate to reveal someone's homosexuality without their consent. Signorelli first began outing people in a column he wrote for the now-defunct magazine Outweek.
I decided that I was going to write a column discussing the popular press as opposed to the elitist press like the New York Times and whatnot, which I thought too much of the gay community focused on. I wanted to discuss and analyze and deconstruct how the gossip press, People Magazine, gossip columns, television, you know, all of those shows on television that certainly discuss people's lives. I wanted to talk about how they treat homosexuals because I really feel that on some level more people's opinions in this country are formed by People Magazine than by the New York Times. And what I saw was that the media, the popular media, kept gay people invisible completely while telling us everything there is to know about heterosexual public figures, including information about their private lives that they would rather not see made public. We know every gynecological fact about every public figure who is heterosexual, and it is glorified and glamorized over again. But homosexuals are never discussed unless they've, quote-unquote, admitted it. In no other kind of journalism would we not write about facts about a person that perhaps are private if they have something to do with a news story. But in this instance, we have this solemn oath, so to speak, that we just don't bring it up. It's a taboo.
Let me get back to your impressions of, you know, the People Press. You think that they don't mention somebody's homosexuality unless they're out because this press finds it too disgusting. You know what I mean? It's just like unspeakable that you'd be gay, so you don't mention it. But maybe it's not mentioned because journalists know that somebody could lose their job if others knew that they were gay, or, you know, especially in the entertainment industry.
I think that's the sort of straight liberal line that we see coming out of the media, but I don't believe for a minute that the media in our country cares about preserving people's jobs. They report lots of things about people, whether it's Bill Clinton or George Bush, that certainly can affect their jobs. So I think that they use that as an excuse, but I think that it's really about a complete visceral reaction or just an uncomfortableness with homosexuality.
So what are your criteria for outing a person?
It's a very complex issue, and it's an issue that the media has tended to try to make very simplistic by calling it all McCarthyism and fascism and kind of melding it all together. There are activists who are outing people to politicize homosexuality in an even more stronger way. Certainly the people who held press conferences outing members of Congress or put posters up of celebrities, that's one aspect. And then there's, of course, the supermarket tabloids that are doing it just to make a profit. And then there are journalists like myself wanting to equalize the discussion of homosexuality and heterosexuality. For journalists, I feel the criteria should be only when it is pertinent to a story and only about public figures, people who've made a deal with the public that their lives are open for dissection by the media. And of course, when it can be journalistically substantiated and verified.
Well, it's unclear to me when somebody has made that pact with the public that their lives are open for examination. I mean, if you're an actor or an actress, do you have that pact that just because you're going to be practicing your art, your life is an open book? I mean, I don't think that sounds fair.
Well, I think that...
And I'm somebody who interviews actors and actresses all the time, but I always feel that, you know, they should have the right to draw the line between what's public and what's private.
I think that... they don't draw the line. The media does it for them in this country. But beyond that, there's a larger issue in the gay community about what is private, and whether or not being gay is private. Meryl Streep is a very private star. We don't know much about her private life, but we do know that she's heterosexual. And the media does not think about that as being something of an invasion of privacy to say someone is straight or to portray someone as heterosexual. And there's a growing sentiment in the gay community that being gay, sexual identity, is not an issue of privacy, just like being straight is not private, that what you do in your bedroom is, and that sexual acts are. But all too often, the media has tried to couch being gay as what you do in your bedroom. The rhetoric used all the time is, what you do in your bedroom is your own business. Well, true enough. But we're saying that just saying to someone is gay is not talking about their sex life. It's an issue of sexual identity. And I think
Can we just stop you a second? What you're saying sounds very naive to me, in the sense that you're not acknowledging the fact that for a lot of people there are consequences to acknowledging that you're gay. And this isn't to justify that there should be consequences, but in the real world, in a lot of professions, including parts of the entertainment industry, there are consequences. So there's a difference between saying you're straight and saying you're gay in the press.
Right, but it is not, I think, the media's job to regulate or decide what the consequences are and what is reportable and unreportable according to the consequences. There are consequences to reporting a lot of things about people beyond their sexuality. There are consequences to reporting, you know, all sorts of issues regarding people's lives, even right down to, you know, if you reported that a star had plastic surgery. I mean, you report it, though.
You got started in media through the gossip business, and I'm really interested in hearing a little bit about this. You write about it in your book. You got started working for basically like a PR company that would plant items in the gossip columns for its clients. And you talk about that you'd often have information that somebody was gay, you know, someone who was, you know, in Hollywood or whatever was gay, but it was considered part of your job to cover that up?
To beard them. That was the term that we actually used. You bearded people. And sometimes you match together a gay celebrity, a gay male celebrity, and a lesbian celebrity. It wasn't uncommon to sort of have them dating each other or in the media, etc. Not only did the studio people know this, the publicists, everyone in the business who was promoting this, we knew it on our end as the column planters. We would plant items in the columns. But the gossip columnists themselves knew it. And the other interesting thing was that many of us were gay, from the gossip columnists to the publicists right down the line, and the studio people too. And we were all closeted. So you had a lot of closeted people preserving the closet of other people in order to preserve their own closet. What I think I've been doing in the last couple of years is sort of breaking the logjam.
When did it start bothering you that you were helping people perpetuate a lie about their sexual orientation?
Well, when I was doing it, I didn't even consciously think about it. It was just what you did. It was one of those things that, as we see so many classic examples in our culture of people just doing what they think is right and they're supposed to be doing while they're actually involved in destroying themselves and other people. It wasn't until years later, when the AIDS crisis became so prominent in my own life, when friends were dying, when I saw everyone on our scene still even trying to ignore AIDS, you know, running away from it. We were still trying to make like it wasn't going to affect us. Nobody would ever talk about it, etc. And I was getting more and more alarmed because friends were dying, and I just wound up at an ACT UP meeting in 1988. And I was immediately, just immediately politicized in an incredibly powerful way by this organization. They were honest, open, they had facts and figures, and they knew what was happening, and they were not in denial like the rest of us. And it was that process of getting involved with ACT UP and looking at the AIDS crisis in that way that suddenly made me see everything from sexism and racism and, you know, homophobia to this this industry I was in the perspective, suddenly that was, you know, clear. And I started to see what I had been doing, what I was involved in, that I was basically involved in cover-ups and creating a charade and showing America a pack of lies and a reflection of itself that wasn't true. And in that sense, helping to reinstitutionalize the closet to all those young people out there.
My guest is Michelangelo Signorelli, author of the new book, Queer in America. Back after this break. This is Fresh Air. We're talking about outing. My guest is Michelangelo Signorelli.
You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to just talk with you about the gossip industry a bit more, because I think you offer a lot of interesting insights into what happens behind the scenes and how it works. Can you just explain for us how you would get items, how you would plant items in gossip columns?
Well, what we did as column planters was a little bit different from the average publicist. Most often, we represented movie companies, 20th Century Fox or Universal, Touchstone. We actually represented all of them, Columbia, Broadway producers, and some performers. They would have their regular publicists who would get them on talk shows or have articles, you know, placed about them, have magazines do feature stories, newspapers, etc. But we provided a service of only getting them in the columns because it's an art in and of itself, and columnists are reluctant to take things just from any PR hack. They take them from the column planters. And what we would do is, and why they did that was because we provided them with other valuable information. We would send them a couple of pages of items. Every other item was an item about one of our clients. And every item in between was a juicy piece of gossip from within the industry or in Washington or in New York or even from Europe. And it would be some juicy information about somebody, who they were dating or who they were going out with, or some project somebody was working on that was secret, or, you know, who they were seen with, or some sort of hot commodity. How we would get the juicy information would be by going out to a lot of parties and collecting information and meeting people, but most often it was from a lot of people who would call up and give us it in return for screening passes that we would give them. So it's all sort of a bartering system that has just a food chain right down. We would then give them screening passes or Broadway tickets. But the even better sources were this army of service people who worked at, you know, super, who worked at stores like Bloomingdale's or Henri Bendel's or stores like that, or were, you know, concierges or worked as taxi drivers or florists or any of these professions where they were coming into contact with the rich and famous. Celebrities, for the most part, are stupid. They talk in front of all of these people and talk about what they're working on, everything from their business to their life or whatever. And these people would simply, you know, call us up from the hair salon or wherever it was they were working and tell us about it. They were also the most reliable sources because they had no political, financial, or any other agenda. And they you could always find them. They were always going to be there if they gave you something wrong. And believe me, when gossip gets wrong, it's a very strict and rigidly controlled industry. When gossip gets wrong, there's a big to do. The publicist, the agent, the studio head, everyone right down to the columnist throws a fit. So we had to be really meticulous.
Would you have special sources who you trusted, or could any taxi driver or any hairdresser call you up and tell you something?
No, these would be people who we had developed relationships with over a long period of time. And sometimes they would introduce us to new sources who we then could trust because they were recommended by another trustworthy person.
Since you got your start in journalism through gossip, I'm wondering if you think that affected your interest in outing in other ways, too. For instance, I mean, you were trading the kind of information a lot of journalists wouldn't report on because they think of it as gossip, like who was seen with who or who was rumored to be making a deal with such and such company or something. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right. I went to journalism school at Syracuse, and I certainly had gotten a background in journalism and knew the distinction between journalism and gossip and know the distinction between them. And while a lot of the information we were dealing in was gossip, a lot of it was the stuff and is the stuff that journalists do report in news stories when it is pertinent to a story. And when I discuss this particular issue, I don't discuss it. In fact, I'm against just discussing people as gay in terms of gossip. I think it trivializes it. I believe when it's pertinent to the story, it should be reported. You would report someone's, cancer, alcoholism, extramarital affair, as we've seen, when it is pertinent to a story. And I feel that homosexuality should be also. And we don't see that. We see a sort of, a journalist will get to a certain point and then find out this information and say, well, it is pertinent, but I can't report that. That's just, my editor would never allow it. They don't go to the editor and push for it. They just simply say, I can't do it. The entire media, as I discuss in the book for several chapters, basically went silent two years ago in 1991 when I had discussed a Pentagon official who was gay and the hypocrisy of that with regard to the Pentagon's anti-gay policy. Every reporter at the networks, in Washington, at many of the news organizations, was trying to do that story. And when they would go to the network presidents or people higher up in the agencies, it would be killed. Sometimes I thought it was because it was the Pentagon and less to do with outing. It was just after the Gulf War, and I think the networks didn't want to go against the Pentagon. But a lot of it was because of outing and because of issues of disclosure. The William Kennedy Smith case had just occurred, and the New York Times and NBC had just been rightfully bludgeoned for doing that. And I think that everyone was just so afraid of going near this. And so here was a major American scandal when the Pentagon was saying that the security risk argument was the top argument then, not the morale argument, that gays were a security risk. Here was the one of the top people in charge of information who was known to be gay by Dick Cheney and the president. I thought that was a story, and I thought it was a story, and so did a lot of people who helped me from NBC, from Knight Ritter. They all wound up helping me to do that story. In fact, I couldn't have done it without the mainstream press corps, but they weren't able to do it. And I think that represents a real problem in journalism today.
Have you ever had second thoughts or doubts about somebody who you've outed?
No, I've never felt that I did the wrong thing in talking about someone. I always talked about people when it was pertinent to the story. I do sometimes feel that, I do feel bad sometimes for perhaps my tone was definitely strident back then at Outweek, and I was very angry. And so I sometimes felt bad for the way that the tactics themselves or the way that I would attack someone. But in terms of talking about people's sexuality, I firmly believe that I'm not invading their privacy. Most of the people, in fact, all of the people I have discussed, it becomes this question of, is it private? If they're really closeted, if you just sit in a room and masturbate, that would be an invasion of privacy. Because no one knows that you're gay. But we're talking about people who are known to hundreds, perhaps thousands of people. They live in a gay environment. They have people in their life who are gay. They have lovers. They've had many lovers. They go to parties. They go out. They have a lot of gay friends. And they're asking all of those people to collude in this secret. And it becomes questionable as to whether this is private. What is the difference between those thousands of people knowing and they must tell other people and they tell other people and they tell other people. And, what's the difference between that and printing it in the paper?
You're talking about how people collude with people who are in the closet to keep that a secret and all the, the pressure it's putting on people to collude with the gay person keeping the secret. But I think for anybody in public life, there's probably this understanding that there's a lot of things in their life that they'd like to keep private and that the people around them kind of agree to try to respect each other's privacy and to keep certain things private. I'm sure that there's a lot that enters into that category.
There are a lot of issues like that, but with this issue, you have the added element here of the people you're asking to keep this secret. Not only don't feel that they should keep the secret, but many times they feel that they are doing the wrong thing by keeping the secret. Richard Moore, a philosopher from the University of Chicago, had written a book, Gay Ideas, Outing and Other Controversies, and he discussed how the person who is outing is living with dignity because that person is not involved in a lie that they have to perpetuate. If I feel that the closet is wrong and that it's wrong for someone to be in the closet, then I feel that when I'm keeping someone's secret, I'm doing something shameful too. So it sort of has a chain reaction in that way. And again, with homosexuality, as opposed to other secrets, you're talking about something in which there's an entire rich community and a culture and a group of people who are marching forward and who are coming out of the closet more and more, and where as they come out of the closet more, they're less likely to want to keep the closets of other people.
I guess what you've just said puts, you know, kind of emphasizes what it is that makes a lot of people very uncomfortable about outing, a sense that you have the kind of morally superior position because it makes you uncomfortable that some people are in the closet, that you have the moral right to open that closet door and announce that they're gay, no matter how uncomfortable it makes them, no matter whether that allows them to lose their job or not, no matter what reasons they have for being private, you have the kind of higher moral, you're on the higher moral ground here.
Well, I think, again, I discuss in the book quite a bit that there's a growing feeling that you're not invading their privacy or opening a door or whatever, that you are simply discussing the truth. And I mean, if that makes it, you know, something of you're on moral high ground, I think everyone who believes in the truth should be on the moral high ground here. I think that you're discussing what you feel is something that, you know, you're saying, I'm not going to be part of your secret. I think that in that sense, you know, it's the closeted person who's asking the rest of us to do a favor for him, is asking us to be part of this. And I, if it means that you're being on the moral high ground simply by saying, no, I don't want to be involved in that, I don't want to be a part of your secret, then so be it. But I think that increasingly a lot of people feel that way. They feel that they don't want to be part of this conspiracy that I talk about.
Michelangelo Signorelli, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Michelangelo Signorelli is the author of the new book, Queer in America, Sex, the Media, and the Closets of Power. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.